This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different topics around the Umpqua Valley every weekday afternoon. And the last couple of programs yesterday and today giving area lawmakers a chance to look back at last week's legislative days. State Representative Court Boyce joining us right now. Court, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, good day. Thanks for having me on. And I think we're headed for an Indian summer, huh?
Well, it appears that way. So overall, give us your impressions of the work accomplished during last week's legislative days.
You know, it's basically, as you know, prep for the full session beginning in mid-January. And, you know, the highlight or maybe the most intense part of the program, that week for three or four days, Kyle, was the illegal voters, the bad representation or registration by the Department of Motor Vehicles. The Rules Committee hearing just got a lot of interest that day, and it started out 300 and then ended up at 1,200. So that overshadowed some of the responsibilities we were there for. The full session is going to be a tremendous battle for spending. You know, the Republicans want to hold the line on spending and no new taxes, and the other side has a majority, and it's going to be, oh my goodness, funding ODOT, funding the fire process, and that entire responsibility is just going to be a tremendous heavy lift.
Talk about the Oregon Department of Forestry in particular with having a record amount of acreage burned, I think $1.9 million acres at this point with a bit of fire season left to go as really tax the agency, it sounds like.
Well, that's the most acres of any previous year. And that 1.9 million acres, good memory there. Just a visual for the people. One of my staff figured out that is about 1.2 million football fields, if you figure the acres, Kyle, the acreage. And when you realize how much land the state of Oregon lost, it's just heartbreaking. You know, if I can just revert back a little bit to the five states that have been hit by Hurricane Helene. They're saying that soon to be confirmed, very likely would be the biggest national or natural disaster in U.S. history. And so our hearts just go out to those people. And everybody call Red Cross if you can. Yeah, back to fire if you'd like.
Yeah, and looking at that, obviously you've got to pay for this. And it's always hard to figure out exactly how much it's going to cost to fight a fire in a given season because you don't know what lies ahead.
Well, I was just talking to one mill owner in Douglas County, and he is so struggling to get green timber to keep his employees going and his mill in operation. And so when you take the Habitat Conservation Plan that basically locked out for 70 years, almost 60% of the marketable timber, and you just take it off, you just take it out of bounds. And so our mills are struggling. As you also know, we've had 8 mills shut in the last 16 months. And so if we can't get them green timber, our rural areas are just absolutely devastated. There's just a radical group out there that would rather, it's like the fish that we have lost on our fish recoveries. We've had a lot of major Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife failures. And so they get tied up by the radical environmentalists that basically would rather lose the fish and lose the timber than grow the fish and grow the timber. And so this gift of Oregon just gets constantly wasted. So then we don't have the money from lack of timber harvest to properly fund and give the resources to our ODF, Oregon Department of Forestry.
Well, a lot to consider there. As you look at last week, do you feel like it was positive or did it get a bit strained between both sides of the aisle?
We know there's no restrictions on the bills that we can introduce, so we got those all into legislative council. I actually have It's not a big number, but I have about 23 bills. A lot to do with one thing I want to do is use Douglas County and Linn County as two test counties to contract with ODF for firefighting responsibilities with the Forest Service, like we do with the Bureau of Land Management. ODF contracts and takes that responsibility for the entire state of Oregon for BLM. And I want to see if we can get some state and federal movement towards doing the same. And we'll just use those two counties as test counties, and we'll put some of these fires out. The Oregon Department of Forestry, at least that department, has an exceptional record keeping 90% of the fires to 10 acres or less.
So were a lot of the things that were discussed last week kind of not so partisan?
I think less compared to the short session especially, but that's a good question. You know, it's election season, and so on our side, we hope to gain a couple of seats. We're not in a super minority, thus taxes can go up easily, and some of these, you know, I hate to sound too brash, but, you know, just some of these radical things. Do Oregonians really want just one example? Do they want men and women's bathrooms, sports, and prisons? And the majority do not, but we lose those battles. And so gaining a few seats, Kyle, would give us a little bit of leverage, additional leverage, so that we can – Virgil Osborne, Brock Smith, and I—we're on the same team, and we are. It's just logical thinking what Oregon is one, especially from the rural area, and bringing rural and urban closer together. Less partisanship, yeah, maybe not so much the last week, but nothing super noteworthy. Just you know, trying to find balance, and we have some excellent candidates at the state level, both in the House, Senate, and for the main state positions of Attorney General, Secretary of State.
Let's talk more about that. The Oregon GOP has not fared very well on the statewide level. You've got a couple of races. How close do you see both of those, the Attorney General's race and the state treasurer race right now?
Boy, I spent some time with Will Lathrop last week. And Kyle, if he was in any other state, he would win 40 out of the 50 states. He's that good. He's that well known in the throughout the country. His record of pushing back against the drug cartels, which really it's a positive interest for us. We have got to understand what is at stake and what the risks are. He just has any kind of trafficking. He's been involved his entire life. He's a rural Oregonian from the northeast corner. Just a tremendous, highly ethical reputation. So I think he's got a real good chance of winning. I'm not paying much attention to the polls. He might be down a couple, but he's running an excellent campaign. When it comes to Secretary of State, I don't know if we're going to prevail there. I'm watching the 4th Congressional District. Monique Despain is running a tremendous campaign, has an exceptional staff. And, I mean, just no negatives. She's just got that 20-year military background. And so it's going to be fascinating to see how she does and if Oregon gains a couple of the congressional seats out of the six we have.
For the state legislature, do you see many gains likely for the GOP? And how will the intense national race tie into voter turnout? How might that impact all of that?
That's interesting. That's a good question, too. You know, for whatever reason, Donald Trump was not in the voters' pamphlet. Whatever decision his team made on that, I think, impacts getting some of the Republican vote out. Again, Kyle, we have got 6, 7, 8 candidates that are just working their hearts out, and they're tremendously qualified, the best run we've had in many years. And so to answer your question, even on the Senate side, we have a Black American that has tremendous military background, and he was 14 points down just 2 months ago, and he's within 2 points now. So the Senate, instead of being 17-13, we're hoping will be at least 15-15. A guy by the name of Michael Summers from Bend, exceptional candidate. They just see that Oregon is on the wrong track. We've got the southern border there in Josephine County with you know, the cartel, illegal marijuana growers, and all that goes with that, and Antifa, however you say that, on the north. And we even have Venezuelan gangs now in on the Oregon-Idaho border, a little town, I think, called God, I forgot the name, I apologize, but Cornell or something like that. So getting back to Lathrop, he's a top crime fighter, understands law enforcement, and he will be very supportive of public safety, which I think is our biggest issue outside of even wildfire, homelessness, etc.
All right, we're going to take a break. More when we come back. State Representative Court Boyce talking about issues impacting the Oregon State Legislature and specifically last week's legislative days. And we look towards the general election as well. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio at 4 o'clock. Tomorrow, we've got a two-part Inside Douglas County. We're going to be talking about the upcoming events this weekend, Blocktoberfest. Brittany Arnold from the committee organizing that will be in for a segment. And happening nearby at the same time, Umpqua Brewfest with local craft beer in downtown Roseburg. Casey Hovick from Umpqua Watersheds will be on to talk about that. We're looking at the Oregon State Legislature today. State Representative Court Boyce in looking at last week's legislative days. And talk about, aside from that, maybe for a moment, some of the other meetings, appearances, things you've been doing late summer and into the fall here to connect with voters around your district.
Well, boy, it is nonstop, and that part's fun. It's intense and just different responsibilities. I'm working with a lot of the lobbyists on trying to figure out how to get some of our bills out of committee for the full session. And I mentioned the one about contracting with the Forest Service. We have a lot of anti-trafficking bills. We have one in particular that's don't groom our kids on the internet. And so Lathrop will be involved in that, helping us and some other key people. Meetings around the state. Oh goodness, I'm always working on gorse, the gorse removal on the coast. A lot of fish issues. Very much a positive approach to hatcheries and how that can make a difference to keep fish in the. It's such an important part of our economy. Depending on my mood, Kyle, it's either veterans issues or wildfire prevention and awareness and prevention is my top two issues. So that keeps me really motivated and energized. And then some of the ballot measures that we're looking at, really bad for Oregon, bad for Oregon business, bad for the long term. In the whole culture of what we're dealing with and just trying to make Oregon safe again. And so there's just public safety is probably, again, number one. And then the homelessness, the whole illegal immigration into and throughout our entire country. So I'm really keeping apprised of all of that. And it's a big responsibility, but it's just it's gratifying to try and make progress and get work done.
You mentioned the veterans issues. Now the ball essentially of getting a state veterans home on the VA campus is kind of in the federal court right now to get some more funding there. We're told that might be likely by the end of the calendar year. Is the state input? I mean, are you still talking with the members of Congress and others that can influence this?
Nonstop, and I'm glad you brought that up because we don't want to get caught flat-footed and lose that incredible match that the federal government has promised. And, you know, number one priority on that is providing veterans the services that they need, and it will be a key part of this third of our state. And so I think we're good, but we just we can't take for granted for a second or be complacent. And so another Another bill that I have that has to do with veterans' health is the hyperbaric oxygen treatment program. And that's, if for some of your viewers are not aware, that forces pure oxygen into the brain. So vets with PTSD, traumatic brain injury, head trauma, this is it's not recognized yet by the Federal Food and Drug Administration, but many states have passed laws that do support it and encourage it, and I think we've got a real good chance to get that passed. It's primarily for veterans, but anyone with head injuries.
And looking around the Oregon State Legislature, you mentioned some of the issues you like to cover. What are some of the ones that are maybe most frustrating to you as a lawmaker?
Oh, you know, the anti-gun bills, that's a little quiet right now, but you never know when the other side is going to pull a surprise. Anything that has to do with protecting our kids, I think we cannot overlook, because there's just a segment of our society out there within our state and from outside our state that just absolutely make our kids so vulnerable. And so, you know, I'm a grandparent of nine, and that likewise keeps me very motivated. So those are the ones that we fight tooth and nail, and sometimes we can stop them, just like tax bills, and sometimes we can't, but we give it our all. And it's just, I worked with 11 women in the last two sessions, and 13 men, and every one of them are completely dedicated. Of course, they're mostly rural Oregon, so we're quite like-minded and determined not to let our families collapse, and our education system, what our kids are taught. We're always going toe-to-toe as best we can.
Do you feel like the divide is more between parties, or is it just as much between urban and rural interests?
Both, certainly. And, you know, I tell the story that there's a magazine called Other Oregon, and on the front of it is a farm that's holding four boxes, and it's a color picture, of course, on the magazine, and the caption is, "Feeding Oregon is a mighty big job." You know, he's obviously a farmer. We disrespect business in Oregon, and the Republicans are doing everything we can to stop more businesses from leaving, and the other side just has not figured it out. And forgive me, but it's sometimes about whatever we have to do to stay in power. And they say things that aren't true, and so they get reelected that way. And that's at all levels of government. So rural folks are traditionally determined to do the right thing and leave a good footprint everywhere we go, protect families, protect business, protect our kids in schools. And, yeah, sometimes that's we get overwhelmed, but we never give up.
And as you back up a few years ago, if somebody would have said at this point in your life you'd be a state representative in the legislature, what would you have said?
Well, I didn't run for commissioner until I was 60, so that was 10 years ago. And so nobody could accuse me of being a career politician. But I'm comfortable. I'm building lots of relationships, making friends on both sides, frankly. I just want them to meet me a mile, and I'll gladly go 2 miles. But no, I never would have thought I'd be in the Oregon legislature. I did work as a legislative assistant, won a full term in 2011 just for fun. And it was, you know, I think that was a good thing for me in the commissioner position, because I did have a lot of friends. And so that's effective for the people I represent in Coos Kerry and Douglas County. But I'm very privileged, Kyle, and I mean that with tremendous sincerity. I just, nothing means more to me than being trusted by the people, and I'll work 24/7 to earn and keep that trust.
As a former small business person, what do you think the state should do differently to encourage, incentivize small business?
You know, everything is overtaxing, is overburden, and overregulation. It's just that simple. Do we pat people on the shoulder and say, "Hey, thanks for employing people"? We throw every barrier at them we possibly can. And I'm going to relate it back to the family. I have one bill that if you have three kids or more, You're not going to pay any income tax. Now, I don't know how far that'll get, but I'm going to push hard on that. The same thing with business. There are things we can do. I have a 100% rating with the National Federation of Independent Business because I've been in business, and I understand employing people is no small task. So we need to guard those folks that are making that investment and extending that effort and determine. And we don't want them to leave Oregon, as I said a minute ago, and you're quite aware of.
20 seconds left. What do you have on your docket in the coming days before the election?
You know, I'm headed back Salem now in the office. I'm always meeting with the home builders. I'm always meeting with Oregon Business and Industry. I'm meeting with some of the electric co-op people because we're trying to figure out ways to keep the rates down on electricity for our citizens. So, Kyle, thanks. Take care, and really appreciate you having me on.
It is 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.